It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Staying up for Team USA?
It's meaningless. No.
I so am.
No, although I am.
The other game's good.
I do have the day off tomorrow, but that doesn't matter. I will fall asleep at 10:30.
Okay, well, that's healthy.
It doesn't matter. What really almost what's anything could be going on.
I think Paraguay is versus Australia at the same time in San Francisco is a game where both teams benefit by a tie. Four points.
Yeah, there were going to be a couple of those, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's Algeria.
Austria, is, maybe.
That one is like, it's definitive.
Yeah.
Not sure this one is, but I don't know. Maybe I will fall asleep.
I know we were talking about this while we were golfing last weekend, because Jeremy had already sort of mapped out that could happen or would happen. And he's like, you can still bet draw on the gambling apps. Like, it was still up. Like, go do it, because it's absolutely going to happen. I doubt that that's still the case, but I haven't looked.
That's Algeria and Austria, you think?
I believe that those are the two teams that I first heard about having this opportunity.
That's too bad, because it's such a classic rivalry. Paul Hamilton with us now. Dare I ask, Paul, thoughts on World Cup? Are you interested at all?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what it is, though.
I know what it is, basically, but yeah. When it's on, like, a couple times it's been on around me, I saw offsides for a goal. That's about all I've seen of the whole thing. I don't even know who's playing. Not my thing.
All right. You won't
be staying up.
You're lost, Paul.
No. I'll be staying up, but I won't be watching that.
What if Team USA goes to the final, then?
I probably wouldn't know they're in the final.
Wow. Well, if you found out.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
If you found out that they were in the World Cup final for the first time, you would pass.
I guess.
Okay. Well, media assembling, players assembling, not teams, as we talked about. We don't have that anymore with the draft. I know we've talked about that element before, but how does that work for you? You're going to be out at the stadium. Not the arena, but the stadium to cover the NHL draft. I mean, is it better this way? No.
And, Mike, really, media isn't assembling either. It's just Buffalo media and national media who are like TSN, who has draft coverage, or whoever, you know, whoever has the draft coverage, that's the media that will be here. There won't be media from other cities here, because they're doing the same thing we are. I mean, we're at the stadium, and they're at where their GM and scouting staff is at home. So, there'll be very little media around. It's just the media from national outlets that are covering the event.
Is that what you did last year? What did you do last year?
I was at the stadium.
Okay, so you didn't go. Was it in Vegas last year?
Vegas the year before was the last one where everybody was at. So it went out with a bang. That was nice. Last year, it was in Los Angeles, but it's the same thing as what's in Buffalo. All that's in Buffalo is players being introduced by Gary Bettman and then doing interviews basically for the Buffalo media, and Toronto media will be down
there. And for the TV, like the TV show. The TV, they'll do interviews on the TV show, which last year was really, really tough or hilarious, depending on your perspective, I guess.
Toronto media will be down here. I lied. I would expect them here
to
talk. Picking first.
Right.
But they're here to talk to their first pick, and they too are going to have people elsewhere. So, I mean, their GM and their scouting staff. So, but there's enough people working at TSN and, well, seriously, I don't know who's covering the draft for them, TSN, Sportsnet, whoever it is. But if you're not covering it, I'm sure there will be media here from Toronto.
Yeah. I wonder, with all that being said here, Paul, like, how desirable an event this will become on the NHL calendar. Like, I'm sure the Sabres were glad to have it. But it's just not what it's been, and so I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see what it's like for people who do go to the arena, because I don't think anyone's allowed to go to the stadium where you're going to be working.
No, they are not.
Just a media event only.
It'll generate more revenue than usually you would have down there. I mean, because players and their families will all be having rooms and meals and that type of thing. So that they'll have X amount of players and their families here. As I said, the national medias will be here. So it'll be busier than normal down there. You have, you know, the concert down there at at the ballpark. You've got watch parties for soccer down there, from what I understand, watching the news just a little while ago. So there are going to be people down there, and restaurants are going to be busy and that type of thing. But no, not what you would have had had it been a full draft like we've had the first two here.
It is Sportsnet covering the event in Canada, by the way.
Thank you.
ESPN has round one, and NHL Network has Saturday in the States. So, Paul, what's your latest feeling about whether the Sabres will use pick four?
I would assume they would like to trade it, but they're not going to do it just for, you know, obviously.
Just give it away, right?
Just for the sake of doing it. They'll be more than happy to make the pick if that's what it's going to take to if that's what you have to do is make the pick. So, what, you know, you heard what Jarmo Kekalainen said yesterday, that for the time being, starting at that point when he was talking, which was around 1:30 in the afternoon, that they will just be listening, you know, about the number four pick. You know, they're inviting teams to call and, you know, what are you willing to give up for the number four pick? And once they have a good thought of where it might go, who might be interested, what kind of negotiation can happen, then they'll kind of swing into action. Maybe they already have. Maybe the listening part is over. And now they have an idea of what it is worth. And would it be worth their while to make a trade, or is there a trade even out there? So that was the way he was going to handle it.
Do you have, we talked yesterday about the idea of using it to acquire a goalie, Hellebuck, presumably. And I think all three of us are in agreement. Like, that's not something I want to do with the pick. Like, what's the threshold for you? Does it have to be a number one center, a top pair type defender, even though they don't really need a top pair defender? They need a top four defender to replace Byram. Where's the cutoff for you, right? Because, like, for me, Paul, I can be very guilty of sort of treating it the way you don't want to treat it, which devalues it, right? It's like, I wasn't expecting to have this, and I wanted to turn Bowen Byram into Matthew Nyes. So if Toronto will take the fourth pick for Matthew Nyes, I would do that, and I probably am an idiot. So, like, because I'm overvaluing Nyes by paying that much for it, but, you know, it's an asset that I just want to use to make my team better, and I think he would accomplish that. But still, I don't want to overpay. So for you, like, where's that threshold? Like, is Dylan Larkin worth the fourth overall pick, but not Matthew Nyes?
Yeah, I've been kicking that around kind of out loud on the air a few times. I don't remember if you and I were kicking it around or you get a finished player who's probably still has more of an upside at age 23. Has already scored over 20 goals and maybe could get it up to 30. So you don't have to go through the process of waiting 2-3 years for this player to develop or longer. The player's already here and ready to go and is young and will be around for a while. But when I think number four pick, you know, Makar was a number four selection overall, and so was Byram, by the way. I believe Quinn Hughes was too, was he not?
On that list too, yes.
You know, so some very, very good hockey players who are a lot better than Matthew Nyes have been taken fourth overall. But, all right, you could maybe get the best defenseman in this draft. 3-4 years down the road, would you rather have the best defenseman in this draft or Nyes? Problem is, we're talking 3 or 4 years down the road, and that's not what we should be talking right now.
Right.
And a forward's a little bit easier because if you get one of the forwards, and they're talking about forwards being the top three picks, meaning the best defenseman would be available to the Buffalo Sabres, forwards tend to be able to get in the league faster. Benson would be a good example, than defensemen do. So if you're able to get one of the forwards, you might be able to get a guy who could be available to you at some point this year, maybe next, depending on where they're going, what they're doing, where they're playing. So you might be able to get a forward that's a little bit closer to being ready to play and being, quote, a maybe superstar type of a talent.
Yeah.
So it just depends. And Jerry Fortin has a really good sense of how the draft. I would almost guarantee you he does have a board, and I would almost guarantee you he'll have the top four nailed, and he'll have it. He almost always does. So he probably has a pretty good idea how this draft is going to fall and how it's going to fall for the Sabres. But at the end of the day, whether we're talking Robertson, whether we're talking Dylan Larkin, if we're talking Knies, I don't know. I just don't know where to go with that.
Yeah, right.
I guess since I don't know where to go with that, I probably should say no.
Don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it. I think that probably would be the thing to say.
Yeah, I wonder if like 20 and one of the kids gets it done. Or 20 and one of the kids and, I don't know, Ryan McLeod. Like the Leafs, the reason the Leafs, if anyone's out there wondering why, because I've wondered this, and I still do. We talked with Matt Larkin last week, and he wondered the same thing. Like, why do you want to trade Matthew Knies? Yeah, like, too. He's 23, 7.75. He's got, like, you know, a contract that he signed before the cap went crazy. He scored 29 goals 2 years ago. He's a penalty killer. Did I say he's 6'4"? Like, he's perfect, yeah. Right? So you get pretty excited about the idea of doing that. So, like, Toronto is trying to keep Austin Matthews happy. Knies has been playing with Matthews a lot. He even killed penalties with him this past season. Yeah, I know that the bottom fell out on that team last year, but still, like, why does Toronto want to trade him? Well, they need pieces. And if you can give them, this is where maybe the pick isn't as valuable to them as three guys that could be in their lineup on opening night. Right. And so maybe that's more the route you go if you're going to do that, because I think their reason for moving him is to get guys that can play for them, too. Not just one guy in Matthew Knies, as excellent as I think he is.
Well, they're going to get a guy that could probably play with them at number one overall.
Sure, right.
And then if they need defensemen and if they could pull down the top defenseman in the draft at four.
Mm.
Which probably isn't going to play this year, but again, it's really going to improve your defense. You know, two,
yep.
3 years down the road, or unless they want to rush him into the lineup. Which, well, Owen Power got rushed into the lineup, and now we see that was a mistake because it took him 4 years to really develop into what we were expecting, which isn't really off the map. It's kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was the number one overall pick, so it's like, well, he's got to play. Does he? You know, but then he didn't. He played one more year of college, and then came to Buffalo. Still,
it took a while. Well, sure,
he wasn't ready.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Robertson idea, Paul? Like that is a big asset. That's four for sure. Probably 20, and then a couple of other pieces, I think. And then it's $14 million. Which I know.
I was going to say between 12 and 14,
yeah,
somewhere in there. It might not be quite 14.
Yeah, but still, it's huge. It's huge. Like, he's, you know, maybe in the top five salaries in the league.
He's two Thompsons.
It's all over. Right?
Yeah, ish.
He's two Thompsons-ish, right.
Boy, do you think Thompson regretted saying long-term contract?
What are you going to do?
It's
how it goes.
It's kind of like Tuck. Tuck's never complained about what he made. But he signed the deal. It was less than $5 million, so he's had to live with it. And Thompson's kind of in the same boat.
Yeah. So, Robertson, is that too rich for you? All of it, the contract that it would require and all of the pieces to acquire him.
$14 million is, I think, out of hand for him, to be quite honest with you. But if it's more towards 12, you know, I think I could get talked into it. As far as the assets that you're going to have to pay, I would pay, $4 and $20, I think, is reasonable. It depends who the prospect is you're talking about. I don't think I'm going $4.20 in Mertka. I think that's a little out of hand. But you know, the Sabres have a lot of good prospects,
and certainly you would exclude if you're going to exclude Mertka. I assume you're excluding Osland, Hellenius, and Kulik as well, right?
I kind of had Kulik on my head.
Yeah. Okay.
That especially with Hellenius and Osland coming, that maybe I could live with 420 and Kulik.
Mm-hmm.
I just Mertka, I think, is going to be really good, and I just, not that I don't think Kulik is going to be really good, but again, as I said, you've got two other forwards that are really on the cusp right here and ready to play, and you'd be bringing a forward in that would be ready to play. So, yeah, I don't know if Dallas could live with 420 in Kulik, but I think I could.
Mertka, what kind of a clue is it, if it is any clue, that the Sabres had agreed to trade him at the deadline? Is it some sort of clue that they might not be as optimistic as we should be?
They desperately wanted Thomas, and that's what the price was.
Well, no, Parayko. That was the Parayko trade. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He might have been in the Thomas package too, but it never really got off the ground. But
he was.
Yeah, Parayko. That was reported. Like that was Mertka and whatever else.
Next, this year's one.
Yeah. Okay.
27.
Now that I've seen another year of Mertka, I probably would have regretted that. I don't know if I would have regretted it when we were talking about it, but I just another year of growth, and I think this kid is going to be special, and I think last year I probably would have said fine, but now that I've seen another year of him and the promise that he has, I don't think for Thomas. Yes. Mm-hmm. For Parayko, I would probably be saying I was wrong.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, I don't know what else. What haven't we covered here?
Moving up to two.
Right. Right.
That's an idea.
Potentially with San Jose. Yeah. I mean, I guess that, you know, we could kick that around. I did think about that this morning. Whether you could whet their appetite. Like if they really want a defenseman, they shouldn't have to do it at two. They could get paid to move down and pick a defenseman, but they also have the ninth pick. Then that kind of complicates it a little bit. Probably.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what is the real advantage for the Sabres to jump to two and then have to waste a little bit of their prospect camp or whatever it might be. It's just not going to be two for four.
Right.
So you're going to have to.
Yep. Yep.
So what is the advantage for Buffalo to move up to two?
Getting Stenberg, like a player that could probably be in your opening night lineup.
Yeah, he could. He could, definitely. But I'm thinking if you're in the running for Larkin or you're in the running for Robertson, I mean, those two players have said, okay, well, I'll go.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
yeah.
You're in the running for it. That's what I had in my mind.
You don't want to trade the fourth pick if you're.
What do you want to? Because you're going to need some of these assets to make that trade happen. You would have to give up some of those assets to jump to two. That's what I had in my head.
Gotcha.
The bigger trade, you might need those assets that you would have to give away to go up to two. I wasn't thinking of the actual player you're drafting. I'm still thinking trading when we're talking about that.
I know what we haven't talked about yet, and it was the reason that when I walked in here and said, hey, you know, I said to Mike, I didn't arrange Paul, but Benson was new since we last talked to Paul, and here we are 20 minutes into this conversation, and we haven't mentioned the Benson contract.
Oh, yeah.
So you're seven for 7.5. Not a surprise. It was in the wind.
No.
But just your reaction to the ascension of Zach Benson, Paul, because, boy, before the playoffs started, we would have had a conversation in here about the way forward, you know, eventually once the offseason does get here. And I remember advocating for bridging him. And then the playoffs happened, and his star rose to the extent that I was no longer thinking about a bridge. But it happened quickly.
Yeah, no, it's a good contract for both sides, I think. Now he makes more money than Tage Thompson, to get back to what we were just saying before.
Right.
But again, Tage Thompson has to live with it. He signed his contract, and that's on him. He could have waited. And he decided to take the long-term deal, because a lot of guys were back when that was happening both in Buffalo and around the league. So, yeah, it's I think a good contract for Buffalo to have that done, to have him locked up. Even nationally, I don't know if I've heard anybody say, what are they doing? You know, the type of a thing. I think it's pretty, whether we're talking locally, nationally, that people think that's a really good contract for both sides. And it's something that both sides are going to be able to live with. And I still think there's more to come offensively because we started to see it in the last 30-some-odd games last year in the regular season and then in the playoffs. And, you know, he just – it's only his third year, and he's 21 years old. And he did set season highs in goals, assists, and points. And I think he's going to continue to do that.
All right, Paul, nice talking to you. We'll do it again tomorrow.
All right, take care, guys.
There you go. That is our Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. His appearances on WGR brought to you by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this.
I'm open to all these ideas. You're so negative toward the Trocheck idea that I'll join you there. The report I saw today was a first plus, potentially.
For him?
Here, let me throw this out. How about just minus? Instead of plus. What does that get me? What if I don't pay the extra or anything? But I do think experience is probably, like this, is probably a sharp area to look for a move.
The only thing about that idea that I like is that it's a veteran. I think the dude has a beard all the time, not just a playoff beard. Like he's 32. He's been in the league a long time, and he's had some very good years. I'm very worried about the bottom falling out on him. I don't think the foot speed is great really at this point in his career. And I just really, really worry about what they want to do with him. But he is experienced, and I do want that. So, you know, that's about the best I can do.
He had a real good playoff for the Rangers 3 years ago, 24, 20 points in 16 games, at least by the scoring stats. 803-0550, what do you want to see from the Sabres by tomorrow night? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, we'll look for your calls right after the update here on WGR.
We have a lot of faith in the group. I think that we talked to all of them in the three goalie rotation. No objection to it. They liked it. They felt that they had a great relationship. That's something that right now we're thinking of just doing the same thing. But it's like any position, whether it's D, forward, goaltenders, we're always looking to improve. If there's something that we think that can improve our goaltending, we'll do that.
Jarmo Kekalainen, the spotlight is on him, not just because the draft is in Buffalo. The Sabres are positioned in a way that might afford them a lot of options. Pick 4, pick 20, a slew of good young players on the cusp of good NHL careers. Right not to assume the best for each guy. I'm not sure how I even want to sort of separate them. 3-4 players. Benson is now on a different list.
Right, he's made. Yeah.
Yes, he's got his contract. So, and then the goalies, and you just heard Kekalainen talk about that. Really, no idea seems impossible. It seems possible that they could trade one or two draft picks for an elite player. It seems possible that they will not do that, because most teams don't. It's not easy to make those trades, and not everybody would want to. Go get your 18-year-olds. Any position. Money might not be an object. Never assume that with the Sabres, but they have tons of room. You can really do or try to do almost anything.
Yeah. The Benson deal took a bite out of that, obviously, because that hits right away. He was an RFA, so he did not have an existing contract. So you're right up. You're from like about under a million to 7.5. Boom. So I think they had, after the moves that were made the day before with Byram and Greenway, I think they were at 21 and talk 21 million or thereabouts. And so now they should be about 14-ish with the Benson contract on the books. So
still healthy.
And yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, listening to us talk about Jason Robertson and a $14 million contract for him, like, well, that's all my cap space. Well, you're probably, you know, Dallas is taking Ryan McLeod or something. You're going to feed them $5 to $8 million in salaries, I think, in a trade, in addition to the fourth overall pick, if you were to make that trade. So you'd open up even more room if you did bite that off, I think.
Here's Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Back when the Sabres tried to trade for Colton Parayko, I know some people were down on it. They thought he didn't really fit in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on Yarmo's press conference yesterday and or maybe the day before, I don't remember, knowing that Byram wasn't going to sign at all, your views on that change, on that trade, if it would have went through?
I mean, I understand why they wanted to insulate themselves. I mean, Parayko still, whatever, I was one of the people that didn't love that trade just style-wise. I wasn't sure that was a player that could really skate with them. But on the team as constructed when they were going to acquire him, he would have been a great third pair guy, which might sound insane, but he wasn't going to displace any of the top four. So I think it would have worked. If he were still here now, I would have a hard time because of the previous stated opinion that I don't think he can really skate and play the game, the 200-foot game they want those top four to play, that it would be a tough fit for me to say, well, I traded Byram away. That's all right. Parayko will play with power and it'll be fine. I think you'd be losing a lot of speed and skill on the ice. So do I wish I had him right now? Honestly, yeah. I mean, they could have really used him in the playoffs. And I think, you know, it hurt to pivot to Logan Stanley and Luke Shen instead of Colton Parayko. But I'm not sure. I think I'd still be looking for a Byram replacement, if that's what you're really asking. I think I still would need a Byram replacement, in my opinion.
Dan, what do you think?
I don't know. That's why I was curious about yours.
Yeah.
What do you also think about, like, a Matthew Knies? If a four is too much, what about, like, a Matthew Knies in a second-round pick for maybe that number four overall pick? If Matthew Knies is, and I'm changing the subject, but
yeah, no. Okay. But you want to have the Leafs throw in. If I'm going to throw you four for Matthew Knies, you want them to supplement the trade.
I don't need the second at all, right now.
Yeah,
I've got pick 45 already in that round.
Right, and my own second round.
No, that's gone.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yes,
to LA or to Toronto. Right. I got mixed up on that.
That's
yesterday.
Right. They didn't have seconds or thirds this year. Yeah,
yeah. That doesn't really excite me. I think just. With hockey, by the time you get to round two, it's over. Just, I know there are anybody can point to exceptions to that.
Matthew Knies is a second-round pick.
All right, there's one. Go on.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't, if you don't want to give up the fourth for Matthew Knies, I don't think throwing a second coming back in really buffers that. I think if you're dug in on he's not good enough for the fourth overall pick, short of getting, like, I don't know, Brandon Carlo, maybe, to play with the guy the Sabres just picked up. Maybe that works. But I don't think the second-round pick really moves the meter at all.
That's an idea. Dan, thanks. Good questions. Here's Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Thanks
I
for calling.
I do appreciate it.
All right.
What I'd like to say about number one is the Capitals and Tuke. Next season, I think they're going to be a better team and to watch out for them. As far as Trocheck goes, I'd only offer him the third that we picked up. I agree with you that his foot speed may be slow, but not only that, teams like the Rangers, when they're ready to give up on somebody like that, they know something about the guy that he just doesn't fit anymore on there. And as far as the number four pick goes, wait at the table until it's your turn, and then see if you can get a phone call or two and see if anybody wants to pick up then.
Well, I don't think there's really much to debate when it comes to Trocheck. He was on the block last year, too. The Rangers were terrible, and that's just a player you move. No matter what he's got left.
At 32 years old.
Yeah, that's really what that is, I think. Just his their standing and then his age put together. I think that's the extent of it, probably. I said yesterday, selfishly, I want this to go to the last minute also. I want this to be on the clock, and then we have the however many minutes that is to ponder what might happen. I think a trade, you know, having said that, I think a trade of that potential magnitude, it's okay if it gets done early. Like, this is a big one. This would be a big one. Who said earlier? Jeremy said it when he was on with us. I just got this find with that number four overall. Maybe, doesn't matter. Maybe the Sabres knew for a while they could get it. Maybe it just sort of like they negotiated with teams and things got hot this week and like Chicago was like, all right, just this is going to be my number one defenseman for the next decade. If it costs me this pick, I can live with it.
Yeah.
And now don't be in any big – the draft is tomorrow, but you don't want to be in such a big rush to divest.
Mm-hmm.
It's too cool. Just let me have this for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not how they're thinking.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I think, obviously, if a trade involving that pick and any of the players that we have talked about, Robertson, Larkin, even Hellebuyck, Knies, who am I leaving out? I don't know. That might be my working list right now. The groundwork for such a trade is going to have been done. What might take until the last minute is for Dallas or Detroit or Winnipeg to tell you, okay, actually, we're going to do it. Yes, now that we're right here at the gun, yes, we want to do it. It also could be something, you know, good luck keeping a lid on it, but I could see the league wanting, if the Sabres do, and the Sabres too, for that matter, like if they arrange a trade for Jason Robertson, I think they'd like the arena full when it gets announced, rather than having it leak out and, you know, you're talking about it or we're talking about it at 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's possible that it gets done and we only all just find out about it at, you know, whatever, when the Sabres turn comes up. So, you know, but, you know, you got to do the legwork and set it all up. So I doubt that somebody, like, that they haven't talked to is going to call at the last minute and go, hey, you want Connor McDavid? That's not happening. and not just the McDavid part. I mean, I exaggerated there to even mention his name. So what? It'll probably, if it gets moved, we might not know about it until they're on the clock, which is fine. But it won't be a last minute, I doubt. Like, you know, you'll hear like, oh, we were talking about this back in March. is usually how that goes. And I think, you know, that's been said enough times by enough people in the league that in all sports that I believe it. Like that these conversations, when these guys say, oh, I'm on the phone with my, you know, we make fun of it at times, but I believe it. Like they'll really talk about, all right, yeah, not now. I don't know. I don't like it. Leave it. Revisit. 2 months go by. Hey, I want to pick up where we left off on this thing and then just sort of see if you can find your way to make a big deal. Like
well,
that.
At least if you're interested in a trade, at least there's action. I mean, this is not one of those years. We've had a lot of them where it seems like everybody just talks about how exciting it's going to be and then there is no excitement. So the momentum, if you will, for trades is it's kind of hot right now. And that doesn't have to matter in a vacuum with this pick, but teams seem willing to do stuff. We know that firsthand. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.